You're all caught up with Carrie and Tommy, so now's the time to think about breaking free from your home loan and planning your great escape to MeBank. See how much you could save with their lowest ever variable rate at mebank.com.au. Credit criteria, terms, conditions, fees and charges apply.
Oh yeah, welcome to Friday Eve Australia. Hello to you, Carrie Bickmore.
Hello, Buzz.
Hello, Tommy Little.
Buzz, oh, me favourite all. How are you?
Glad I'm your favourite.
Yes. And there's a long list too.
Is there? Go through some of them.
Manhole was up there because it's one of my dying wishes. I want to see someone fall down a manhole. You know
Why?
How you always see it in cartoons and movies and it's very funny?
Okay.
I would love to see it.
Sure.
What's your thoughts on
We could probably make that happen, you know.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. Get a stuntman just to fall through a manhole for you. I'm getting a thumbs up from our producer, Sonda. We can make your dreams come true,
well,
Tommy.
Can I
That's
get
what
slightly
our show does.
More specific?
Okay.
It needs to be quite a portly man who has an English,
gets stuck.
Who has an English accent and then falls down, gets stuck and goes, cool, blimey, I'm stuck down a manhole.
Sonda's currently pointing at Buzz. I think that's very unfair.
That's offensive.
Also, Buzz, so you reckon you'd fit down a manhole?
Probably not.
He would definitely fit down a manhole.
Let's
what size manhole are we talking
Let's
about?
Let's do it. Let's make this a listener event.
Yeah.
And people have to bet whether or not Buzz is going to fall down the manhole.
All right, we'll do it next week.
Okay, 13:10:60 if you'd like to come along.
Yeah.
Very specific. We'll do it next week.
Yeah, next week. Anytime after tomorrow is good, I reckon.
Okay.
Up next, I was going to do a victim of crime story because I'm a victim of a crime.
Are you? What happened?
But I think I'm going to do something else.
Okay.
So
stick around
stay tuned
for that.
And find out what it is.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
I've got two options for you.
Yeah. Was this Choose My Own Adventure?
Yes. Would you like me being a victim of a crime or would you prefer a idea which I think could change the country?
Victim of the crime.
Oh. Damn it.
You've always got ideas and they never lead to anything.
I think this one's pretty good.
Crime.
So my car got broken into, right? I came out the front and I opened my door and I thought, that's weird. There's stuff all over my car.
Oh, that's so violating.
That's
horrible.
Well, I thought, oh, no, it's going to mean one of my windows is broken and that's the most easy, the most annoying bit.
Yes, because you've got to go get it fixed.
Yeah, I feel like leaving a note in my car saying, if you want whatever's in here, here's my address, just knock on the door, I'll give you the keys, you can open
These
it,
kids
right?
went down our street and threw rocks through all the windows of every single car, didn't take a single thing. Couldn't be more annoying. At least take something if you're going to cause that much of an inconvenience for everybody.
Yes, criminals out there. At least take something. That's the message we're giving you. If you're going to break our windows, at least take something. But thankfully, I must have left it open because the car passenger doors were slightly ajar. And so I must have just not locked it. So they've gone in. And they took, all they took was coins and stuff and my headphones. But the strange thing was, I put the stuff back in the center console and I was like, oh, it's actually cleaner. Like, because they've cleaned out the center console and stuff. That kind of done me a bit of a favour.
What, they got like a ShamWow and started cleaning it?
No, because it was just full of coins.
Isn't that what they're called?
That's just a random thing to bring up.
And then the free set of knives that came with it. Oh, wow, they got the set of steak knives as well. They've really gone all out. Oh, and the shoe that they weirdly cut the steak knives with on the ad, that's there too. Oh, it does cut through a tomato. That's incredible. But I thought it was actually quite convenient.
So by rummaging through, you're saying it ended up cleaning it out?
Yes, because they just took all the stuff. But the thing that I thought will make them, and I think you laugh, is you know how I had my makeup debacle and
oh, no.
I had
the... Don't tell me they took your powders. I mean, this could be a good thing because you've been looking too dark, so we needed to get you lighter powder.
So Channel 10, I had a shoot on the weekend and they gave me a new makeup thing because they heard the conjunctivitis thing.
And also that they'd given you Waleed's the week before.
Yes, and I was looking a little on the exotic side. And so they gave me a new makeup kit. And so that was in the center console. And I feel like what might have saved me is they went, oh, we can't rob this old woman because all the makeup had been
can't
taken
take
out.
His blush.
Yeah, oh, God. He's never going to look the same.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Oh, beat the bomb. See ya. Mystery sound. See ya. Because the new craze in radio that is sweeping the nation is back, guys.
What word are you listening to?
Okay, we did play this for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and I quite liked it. Okay. But next time you were going to come with more defined set of parameters through which we're going to play this game.
No.
That's a topic?
That's what you asked me to
do. Or a couple of three letters or something?
That's what you asked me to do.
Come on. Make the game fun.
This is fun.
It's not. It's fun for you.
No. Shut your eyes because.
Okay.
And
just to clarify, the game, Tommy's right.
People get it, mate.
No, they don't. People do. Tommy will write something on a bit of paper and just by our ears.
With a Sharpie,
we have to, or maybe they can sponsor it anyway. They have to identify what word Tommy has written.
Nah, they'd probably want to sponsor a good game.
What word are you listening to?
Shut your eyes.
One thing you have to say, caps or small case?
Not to.
Can you make it fun?
Shut your eyes.
Just give us something to go. Oh, my God.
Shut your eyes. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Bickmore.
What word are you listening to?
I think there was an O in the middle. Toe.
So, you know how I had to make the game fun?
Yeah.
The word was fun. Very close, Bickmore. Three letters. You're getting quite good at this guessing stuff. Buzz, would you like to have a go?
I'd love to.
Okay. Shut your eyes, please.
All right.
And good luck hitting the right button.
Yeah. I don't know when you're pointing at me either.
Buzz.
What word are you listening to?
I reckon I know it.
Yep. Great. Talk us through the letters.
So I feel like there was a double letter in there somewhere.
Yes, you heard two strokes of almost exactly the same. That's good.
So I think that's a double letter. I think it ends in a Y. And I think if we're going for similar sort of thing to what you did with Carrie, I reckon, is it funny?
This was sponsored and we could give you some money,
Buzz. Or Sharpies. I'll take both.
How did you get that?
I mean, I just talked you through it.
Yeah, it was great.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little here for MeBank. Break free from your existing home loan and switch to MeBank to see how much you could save. Details at mebank.com.au.
One of the pluses of getting a better interest rate. You're going to save some cash, then you can go spend it on something fun. Not a mortgage, but what would you spend it on?
Right now, I think I would spend it on a little toy motorized boat. Well, you put me on the spot and
for your
I feel
nephews.
Like...
You don't have a nephew, do you? Or
no,
your nieces?
I've got nieces and sure, if I need to pretend it's for them to make it sound more normal, I will. But I just like the idea. I saw a guy sitting by the side of a lake using one the other day and he looked really happy and I thought maybe that's the key to life.
Okay.
Anyway, what would you spend it on?
Not that. What have we got coming up?
Well, I wanted to do an in-depth chat about motorised boats, but I've blown all my good gear there, so I'm fresh out. What else we got, Buzzy?
Tommy, I know you're happy about this one. News from across the Dutch is back.
Oh no, it's
you
back.
You could go there on your motorised boat.
Oh, it sounds like you're trying to kill me.
Oh, no.
They're quite treacherous seas for such a little boat.
All right, stick around. It's coming up soon.
Oh, no.
That was quite good, Buzz.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Buzzy, you've got a bit of feedback here.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Everyone's talking about it.
What's the apps on the app?
A bit of online commentary because Bickers premiered a brand new segment last week and you were not a fan.
No.
Unlike you, usually a supportive co-host, you said it was rubbish.
I didn't say it was rubbish.
You
it was underwhelming.
And then you told me to go and...
I didn't.
You did.
I didn't.
And then you said... and. Give yourself another one for, and then all use all those words that I can't repeat.
Now you're just making things up.
No, you did.
Like, I'm not going to argue a liar.
Kira got in touch and said, literally almost peed myself at traffic lights from laughing so hard at the new segment. So great. Please do it again. So for Kira and all the other people out there with ears and common sense, you're welcome.
We interrupt this broadcast with breaking news.
Here is the latest news.
The latest news.
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 From across the Dutch.
Oh, no.
Oh no, it's Tommy and Kerry, and we're bringing you some news, but not from Australia. That's right, from across the Dutch. Hey, Bickers.
Your voice is pretty funny.
You've got to do it too.
I can't. We've discussed this.
Don't call me that. Just do the voice.
I can't.
Or at least if you're going
to
call me that, do it in the accent.
Do the voice.
That's good.
I can't do the voice.
I told you, just go up, don't you, Buzzy?
Yes, you do.
There's a young lady in there instead of Buzz. Okay. Here's what's happening in Dunedin, of course.
Dunedin.
Yeah, cool. Something. a delivery man. He was trying to deliver a parcel on Castle Street. A parcel on Castle at 1:30 on Sunday. And Bickers.
In the morning or in the afternoon?
No. 1:30 p.m.
In the afternoon.
Yes. It'd be weird if it was 1:30 p.m. in the morning. And guess what happened to the delivery driver?
What?
A man who was understood to be intoxicated exposed himself to the driver and then urinated on the vehicle.
Oh, no. Well, that's not good.
So urinated and then pissed. He pissed on the vehicle and then fled.
Good.
Okay, you want next news story?
Yep.
Okay, what about this one then? Are you not a fan of that story?
Well, I guess now I've worked out the only funny part about this segment is not necessarily the stories, it's just you talking.
No, that was a man that exposed himself then pissed on the delivery driver. It's now a police matter. They're looking for a man who exposed himself.
Stop saying a man exposed himself. Well, it's not funny. Did. Go to the next one.
He did.
I know.
And then pissed on the delivery vehicle. Imagine getting a parcel full of piss. That's funny. What about this one? Actually, this is another man that exposed. This is another man that exposed.
No, it's not. Show me. Don't read another one about a man having exposed.
I'll find another one. Here we go. A lady was walking into a shop when a man exposes okay, it's another one. Now, I've got one here. Oh, Kiwi designers. You know how Kiwi designers are often up and coming and very exciting? Not this one.
What's some of your favourite Kiwi designers?
Taylor. They're my favourites because they're in this story. And they describe themselves as being proudly designed and made in New Zealand by an aspiring team of designers, talented machinists, finishers, and presses all working their magic. Apparently not. All the designs they are accused of being ripped off from big overseas brands. What brands, I hear you say, Buzzy? Good question. The first one is global label Ishimiyaki and Chinese designer Uma Wang. That's
back
fun
to the
say.
First story again.
Oh yes. Because it's, you've got to bring the last bit of news.
Okay, what's the last
bit?
I can't do it in the accent.
You give it a go. That's pretty good.
Give it a go. Hydraulic oils. I can't
just give us a go.
Hydraulic oil spills into Taronga Harbour.
Oh, that's a shocking story. This is meant to be a fun segment. A lot of wildlife will die because of that. Why do you always bring the segment down?
There we go.
I'm going to have to expose myself to get out of this on a high note.
That was
News.
From across the Dutch.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
I was so excited when I came in today because we love snacks.
Yeah.
Everybody loves snacks. And there was what looked like a delicious bag of snacks on the table. Nobbies.
Yes.
Loaded snack mix, nacho cheese flavor. So it's got all pretzels, nuts, those funny soya crisp swirl things.
I've never seen Nobbies nuts in a long time.
Flavor. Well, guess what?
I never knew that you could get a loaded version of them.
Really?
No.
Yeah, I haven't had a crack at Nobbies nuts.
No, not loaded.
But then.
Snack mix.
There's a catch. This.
Can I see?
Our audio producer, Marshy, what is the catch?
When I opened the bag to enjoy my Nobby's nuts, no nuts to be found, but a lot of nacho cheese flavouring, as in
I've just
the
had
whole
a look,
bag.
I've just had a look in. Have you eaten the nuts out of it?
That's no, what I asked.
I haven't
what
touched
do you mean?
It. I haven't touched it. That's
so all there is flavouring in here.
Yeah, that's how it was when I opened the bag.
So do you promise that you're
stinks,
not lying like a small child and that you didn't eat all the nuts?
No, didn't eat any of the nuts.
Just looks like, you know what it looks like? It just looks like a jar of Cajun spice mix has been tipped into a bag. It smells like Cajun spice mix.
So I think, were you disappointed, Marshy?
Yeah, I didn't get any nuts.
Yeah, I can understand that. But I think your disappointment, and I saw instead a world of possibility.
Oh, hang on. Someone's just eaten one.
I found one little tiny nut at the bottom.
Tony, do you want to share it
around? It's very intense.
Are you surprised it's very intense when it's come out of a bag that is just flavouring?
We'll throw a photo on our Instagram as well, at Carrie Tommy Show, so
that
you can see
a mistake.
Just how much flavouring is in this bag.
Oh, God. God, that'll go.
Yes,
that'll
Gary.
Go.
What? It must be a mistake.
Sorry, guys. Columbo has cracked the case over here.
It must have mixed in on a production line.
I was about to go in 131060, what has happened here? And Bickers, I think, has absolutely cracked it and worked out here. This must be a mistake. Surely there are meant to be nuts in this bag of nuts.
Maybe loaded means there's not many nuts. It's just more like sauce, topping stuff.
I reckon that's wrong. There is a 1.5 health star rating. I think that might have gone out the window considering there are no actual nuts in the bag. But nacho cheese flavouring is delicious. Marshwa, how do you feel about this going on to other stuff to see how it's going to taste?
Just using it as a sprinkle?
Yes.
I mean, you could make tacos out of it. It's
well,
a good taco sauce.
You can
sauce.
See the plate of stuff that I've got in front of me and there's no tacos there.
It's a shame. You really should have thought of that. Make some good nachos too. Do you have any nachos?
You know we're doing this in real time. And so far, all you've offered is, I think there might be a mistake. And can you get something else other than the plate of stuff?
Why have you got cucumber?
Because I thought it might be interesting.
And strawberries. No one's going to eat Nobby's nuts and strawberries together.
Oh, incorrect, because you are going to eat.
How did I end up being the one that has to eat this stuff?
Because I thought it was all proper, but you stumbled onto the amazing idea that perhaps it's a mistake.
So what's food number one, Tommy? What have you put it on top of?
This is a strawberry loaded up with some. Oh. I'll do one as well because this is a strawberry loaded up with nacho cheese. I'm not a food doctor, mate. I don't know. Ready?
Oh
my God, that's disgusting. That is.
Is there a bin, Sonder?
Almost like it was a mistake.
That is amongst the worst things I've had in my mouth, and I've had some shockers.
Oh
my Lord. I shouldn't have said. Okay, Bickers, let's go back to more traditional flavours. Oh. Don't spew. Let's go back to some more traditional flavours. What do you think of when you think of things with cheese, because this is cheese, ham and cheese is up there, right?
Yep.
So let's sprinkle this on some ham.
Yeah.
Let's see how that goes.
Is that a prune you've got there? A date?
I believe it's
don't
a date.
Don't put it on a date.
No, that wasn't that. I just heard you're irregular, so I thought I'd that for you. Sorry, it was a separate thing. There's your little piece of ham.
Oh, I don't want it. I don't want any of this.
No, none of us do. We're making radio.
It's not good radio, mate.
Isn't it?
No.
Is it? Have you worked out that this is also a mistake? Okay, ham and cheese. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Right, nibble it. Have a half of one. All right, repulsive as well. Oh, my God. I got to spit it out. Give me a plate, mate.
Give me a hand.
No. Sonia, give me a hand. I got to spit it somewhere. God. Oh, my God.
So it didn't work on strawberries or ham. What about crackers?
We should make Marty.
Marty. Oh, I'm not eating the regurgitated ham.
Marty.
I don't know what you're talking about, Marty. That's not what I said.
Marty.
You were annoyed there was no nuts in there. Now there's food with your nuts.
We always say that we're birds that flock together. And in this case, you are the baby bird and we're going to regurgitate it into your mouth like an adult bird.
Like Gwyneth Paltrow does with her kid.
Is that what she does?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I read it on Goop.
Well, that's strange what that looks like.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, there is a book out at the moment called Special, and it's written by an Aussie mum and a journalist about raising a child with a disability and the experience around the world for people raising a child with a disability. And I read this book. I couldn't put it down. I took it everywhere with me. I was reading it on the project desk. I read it on the train. I read it everywhere because it was such an eye-opener for me. It turned on its head all of the preconceptions I had about what it would be like. And it's written through the eyes of Mel and the story of her son, Arlo, who has cerebral palsy. And Mel joins us now. Hey, Melanie.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. I obviously know your story, having read it, but for everybody else, can you talk to us about how having a child with a disability became your world?
Well, yeah, we had a pretty ordinary pregnancy and then we were kind of 4 days past our due date and Arlo's movements were a bit different. He wasn't as active as he usually was. So we went into the hospital and they had a look at him and they said, oh, we can't see anything wrong, but look, you're 4 days past your due date. We'll induce you. So we were just about to be induced. I was all connected up to the fetal heart monitor. All of a sudden, his heart rate just dropped dramatically. And we were like, oh, called the nurse in, and she had a stethoscope out and was scrambling around my belly trying to find the heartbeat and couldn't hear anything at this point. So then the emergency button was pressed. All of these doctors just flooded into the room. And, you know, within moments, my bed was being wheeled out to theater and I was put under general, and they got Arlo out in about 10 minutes. But because he was deprived of oxygen during that time, he got brain damage, which we would later find out was cerebral palsy, or resulted in cerebral palsy.
How long till you got that diagnosis?
It was 6 blissful months of denial until we got that diagnosis. And even though we were being quite closely monitored, you know, we had to go to the growth clinic at the hospital. We were seeing a physio who kept kind of hinting that we might want to check in with the Cerebral Palsy Alliance. We were very much clinging to, you know, this will be okay. This kind of thing only happens to other people. So yeah, it wasn't until Arlo was 6 months, hadn't met any milestones, you know, he wasn't rolling over or sitting up. It was then that we got the diagnosis.
Was it a moment of your world coming crashing down, or was it a moment of, yeah, this is kind of what I thought all along and now I'm just confronting that?
Oh, it was pretty wretched. Like, part of me was still very much in denial and thinking, you know what, this is going to be mild, this is going to be nothing, or, you know, a misdiagnosis. Like, the amount of times I Googled cerebral palsy misdiagnosis trying to find a similar story where this had happened but everything was still okay. But, you know, a big part of me knew, well, this is a diagnosis. I can't really deny that. And I was so sad, just gloomy for months after that, and just really, really scared, because, you know, you think your life and your child is going a certain way, and then suddenly that's ripped out from under your feet and you've got this big black hole in front of you and you have no idea what your future or their future is going to look like.
Mel, obviously the book is called Special, and although there's obviously confronting things in it, there's some very uplifting things as well. At what point was it for you that this changed, that it went from, you know, as you said, a big hole opening in front of you to realising there are amazing things to be taken from this?
It was interviewing the parents that got me there. I sort of was desperate to know that this wasn't what I thought it was, that everything would be okay. So that's why I wrote the book. You know, everyone says talk to other parents, befriend other parents who are raising kids with disability. I didn't want to do that. So I thought, you know, a sneaky way to get around that would be to say, oh, I'm writing a book, can I interview you? And, you know, a very one-sided conversation. So I can
why didn't you want to befriend them?
Because I didn't want to admit that I was like them, you know. Like, I couldn't even say the word disability at the start of this. Mm. And befriending other parents would have taken a level of acceptance that I just did not have at the beginning. Then, you know, as I was talking to them, the conversations started changing. You know, if you're told 50 plus times, this is okay, this isn't what you think it is, we're living, you know, a beautiful life, then, you know, it starts to stick. And by the end of the book, I felt entirely differently about this experience.
For people that don't know, and I'm not sure I 100% understand either, what is life like for Arlo? What does having cerebral palsy mean for him in his everyday life and his future, I guess?
Yeah, well, cerebral palsy is so broad, you know, it can be quite mild. Arlo is quite severe physically, so he's non-verbal and non-mobile, so he can't roll or sit or walk. We're working on it very hard with his physio. He also can't speak, which came as a surprise to us because we didn't think that would come under the, you know, the physical category, but it also affects the muscles in his mouth and his tongue, so he has trouble eating. We're working on that, and he doesn't have any words yet, so we're helping him to speak using his pupils with an eye gaze device, which is very exciting. But Arlo is a very busy little boy. He's got appointments every day. We've got physio, OT, 3 different speech therapists. He also goes to daycare 2 days a week, which is bloody brilliant. It's just, you know, your standard daycare. They've been amazing.
When you had time to write this book, yes.
Well, exactly. My God. But yeah, these are daycare. It's just, you know, the daycare up the road, and they'd never had a kid with disabilities before, and they just embraced him. They got all the equipment he needs. All of his physio, OT, speech therapists have all been in there to show them, you know, what to do for him, and they've just been so good. And he's got 20 little friends in there who all adore him. It's awesome.
So much of parenting is about milestones, and I love in your book how you talk about the future milestones. All of that can go jam it because they mean nothing to what Arlo means to you. Can you talk about that a little bit? Explain that to us.
Yeah, well, it sucks, you know, especially at the start when you just realize, oh, my kid isn't meeting these milestones, and there are things you can cling to at the start. You know, boys develop a lot slower than girls, and but then it gets to a point where you can't really say those things anymore. And it's hard because the whole world is kind of designed around these milestones. You know, like Arlo wears nappies that are called crawler nappies, and he's not crawling, and, you know, he's in clothes that are a size 2 and he's 3.5. So everything is designed to make you feel like crap, or so it feels when your child is not meeting the standard marks. But it's been really liberating for us to just go stuff it and like throw the rule book out and say, you know, we're going to write the story from here and just let Arlo lead the way.
Mel, you said that this was a book that you wish was around for you. I don't have kids. Would I still get something out of this book? Who's it for?
It's for anyone that knows anyone that has a child with disability. And look, frankly, I hope it's an interesting read anyway. And there's kind of coping strategies and things in there that just would help anyone that's had something unexpected happen to them, or, you know, when things don't go to plan. I think there's a lot of good things in there to help. But certainly, you know, there's advice for friends, you know, how to talk to a friend who has a child with a disability. There's advice for parents, you know, the grandparents of children with disabilities. I think other people that might get a lot out of this are people working in the disability sector, you know, like therapists and doctors, to get the parent perspective. I think it's really important to get an idea of sort of what we're going through and how you might be able to help.
I think a lot of people are scared when talking to someone who has a child with disability because they don't want to say the wrong thing. What advice would you give for people on how to have those conversations and how to not feel scared?
I'd just say just have them. I mean, I would have been the same, you know, and I'm still awkward in some of these conversations, certainly when, you know, meeting with adults with disability, I still feel a bit scared about saying the wrong thing. But God, it's better just to, you know, to talk it out. I think the worst thing is having silence, or even worse than that is when people say like, I'm sorry, or like, don't say you're sorry. Let's just have a chat. Just ask me how I am. Ask me how my child is, and be careful how you ask that as well. Like one of the mothers I spoke to for the book, she has a beautiful little son called Dare who has Down syndrome. And she says, people will ask, oh, so how is Dare? But for her other kids, they're like, oh, so how's so-and-so? And it's just a completely different tone, and it sets up a really negative conversation. Yeah. So I'd say, you know, just ask how we are, ask how our kid's going, and just ask it in an upbeat or normal.
It was the back of the book that got me when I was reading it, Mel. It says, why has this happened to me? When will I stop feeling shit? Will I ever stop comparing my child? How will my relationship survive? Will I be able to work again? Should I have another baby? What will my future look like? You have gone on to have another bub. How does that bub fit into your world now? How is it a little girl?
She is a little girl, Odie. So she's Odette, who we call Odie, who's 19 months old now. And yeah, she blows our mind. I mean, every little flick of her finger we, you know, are amazed by. We don't take anything for granted. But it's funny, Arlo's kind of made us quite weird parents. Like when we took Odie for her 6-month vaccination checkup, the doctor was like, oh, she's sitting up. And we're like, oh, no. And we got home and sat her up and she sat and we're like, oh, right, she can. And when I first saw her, I went into the room and the first time I saw her standing up in her cot, I like shrieked in horror and ran out of the room and slammed the door because my brain is not used to seeing babies standing in cots. It's used to seeing babies lying down. So it was like I'd seen Chucky. Like I was proper horrified.
You're not encouraging Odie to stand again.
Well, she's been slow to walk, I must say.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Mel. I think there's so much that everyone can take out of your book. Thank you for writing it, and all the best with everything in the future.
Oh, thanks, Carrie. Thanks, Tommy. Lovely chatting.
And if you do want to get a copy of this book, it is called Special and it is in your local bookstore right now.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
I remembered this morning the joys of being a child, how the simple things, you know, when you're an adult, it takes a lot to get your rocks off.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like it takes a lot of complicated things to feel real joy.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
When you're a kid, it's so basic.
Weren't we talking the other day about the moment that it changes from wanting to wake up early and being so excited about the day to then going, even though I love my job and what I do, yep, I don't want to get
out
of bed.
I'd rather be asleep. Yeah. Yep. So we were going to kinder this morning with Evie and it was pouring with rain and I was holding the umbrella and she said, oh, can I hold the umbrella? And I said, no worries. And as she held it, it kind of blew away. You know, it flipped in on itself.
Yes.
And I said, we might have to put it down. Anyway, I think the rain's cleared. So I put the umbrella down and then we walked another 5 metres and the rain hadn't cleared. And I said, no, we do need the umbrella. And she said, oh, can I open it?
Yeah.
And I was like, no worries. She said, I've never opened an umbrella before. And I thought, what do you mean you've never opened? I thought, I guess when you're four, you don't open umbrellas.
Of course, she's not walking around the golf course or something.
So she held it. I made her hold it away from herself so she didn't poke herself in the eye. And
not inside.
No.
Not for bad luck.
No, exactly. Yeah. Outside, got her to pop the little button. Pop. The joy that spread across that little person's face. And then she said, can I do it again? And I said, okay. So then I closed the umbrella for her.
Oh, no, she's going to get addicted.
And then she said, pop. And I saw it again and I thought, I mean, you don't ever get sick of opening umbrellas.
Yeah.
It is such a simple joy. It's the same. I do remember to this day where I was when I learned how to blow bubbles and learned how to whistle. Blow bubbles with chewing gum and learned how to whistle. I was when I was five and Mum and I lived in America for a year when my parents split up.
Yep.
And Mum and I used to go for big drives across America and we were driving the car and we had a 5-hour drive ahead of us and she made it her mission to teach me how to blow a chewing gum bubble. So for 5 hours and just as we pulled into the town, I did my first bubble.
And ecstatic?
Absolutely ecstatic.
Yeah.
Learned to whistle on the same trip.
Can you whistle? Is it just like a or is it?
Hold on.
And did you learn to whistle? No, because, yeah.
Why is it not coming
out? I don't know, but I need to get you some chewing gum because I don't reckon you can blow a bubble either.
Why is it not? Hold on. Let me whistle.
I bet you I've, yeah.
I can't while I'm laughing.
So okay, go.
Stop making me laugh. I can't whistle while I'm laughing.
I'm only laughing because you can't whistle. This is a vicious cycle.
I can.
Yeah. No, you can't. But guess what, Buzz? I bet you the only reason.
I bet you the only reason.
I bet you the only reason Evie had to open the umbrella is because Pickers couldn't do it.
Why can't I whistle? What's happened?
I don't know.
It's not getting any better.
Oh, that wasn't bad. Was that you, Buzz?
All right, we are out of here. Hughesy with Ed Cavalier as Carrie continues to try and whistle. Have a great afternoon, everyone. What a way to end the show.
I've lost my whistle. God. How do you lose a whistle?
You know those joyful moments when you learn to whistle for the first time? They're just as bad as those heart-crushing moments where you realise you never did.
But guess what? I get the joy of learning how to whistle again.
Mate, you're old now. It'll take you years.
Thanks for switching on the Carrie and Tommy Catch Up podcast. Switch your home loan to MeBank and you could save with their lowest ever variable home loan rate. Check it out at mebank.com.au. Credit criteria, terms, conditions, fees and charges apply.